Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading just read from the lectern. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a preacher's nightmare: to hear a sermon in chapel the day before you are to preach on the same subject you will treat. Yesterday, Reverend Lang preached on the working of the Holy Spirit and the one holy Christian church based on Wednesday's scripture reading. Well, today's reading, to a large extent, has the same theme. Nevertheless, I hope that this message will give additional supplementary thoughts and some new emphases. In our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul discusses spiritual gifts. He does not want the first readers of his epistle and all future readers to be ignorant on this topic. Hearing what Paul has to say, what is our response regarding spiritual gifts? Our first response is one of thanks to God. Our text reemphasizes this basic truth, that our salvation is due to God alone. The good news of Scripture is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The chief doctrine of the Christian church is justification by God's grace through faith. Christ has redeemed the whole world. He suffered and died on a cross and arose from the dead for all people. But faith in Christ, believing that he is the Savior, is necessary for salvation. Now, as you have learned already, there are Christian groups, denominations, which, while recognizing the necessity of faith for salvation, faith in Christ, still teach that a person takes the first step forward to believing in Jesus. They hold that a person has to reach out and accept Christ. In essence, an individual has to bring himself to faith. He has to make a decision for Christ. He is responsible for his believing. This teaching, of course, is contrary to the message of Scripture. God's Word proclaims that our salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, is God's work alone. It is due to him alone. It is entirely God's doing. It is completely by God's grace, his undeserved kindness, his unmerited favor. It is totally a gift of God. If salvation through faith is due even just a little bit to a person's own effort, if an individual is responsible, at least in part, for his coming to faith, how is salvation totally a gift of God? It is not. The Scriptures, both the Old and New Testaments, announce the payment for our damning sins was Christ's work alone. He, with his life, death, and resurrection, acquired the saving righteousness which is received through faith. And our text and related Bible passages clearly states that faith is the work of, it is produced by, God the Holy Spirit. No one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Since all people are spiritually dead by nature, how can anyone do anything for his salvation? The Holy Spirit makes a person a believer. By the Spirit's power alone, an individual can confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Further, this saving faith, which is created by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, is preserved and nurtured, developed by the Spirit. The Spirit, working through the gospel, which we read and hear, and through the Lord's Supper, preserves and strengthens our faith. Thus, our response regarding spiritual gifts is one of thanks to God, because faith is the greatest, the most important of these spiritual gifts. Through faith, we have forgiveness of all of our sins. We have Christ's saving righteousness. We have peace with God, God's guidance in our lives, and other blessings of salvation, which all believers have in common. We also give thanks to God for the other spiritual gifts He bestows on the members of His kingdom, the one holy Christian church. These are the special gifts which are highlighted by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and dealt with him in more detail in the verses following our text. These special gifts the Holy Spirit distributes as He wills. One believer has this gift or gifts. Another believer has a different gift or gifts. With these special gifts, we see how lavish God is with the members of His kingdom. They are bestowed by God for the welfare of those in the church. We also see God's intense love for His people, the love of the triune God. Paul writes, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, Jesus Christ. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God, the Father, who works all in all." Again, what is our response regarding these spiritual gifts? Thanks be to God. Our second response is to have a certain view of those who are believers in Christ. We see them as we see ourselves, as those in whom the Holy Spirit has worked a miracle by His almighty power, the miracle of faith. We regard these Christians then as very special people who are precious to the Lord. Now, what about those who sincerely confess Christ as Lord, but who at the same time are holding to certain false doctrines or engaging in practices which are contrary to Scripture? Such people are not merely a theoretical possibility, they are a reality. We adopt an attitude of humility, knowing that, but for the grace of God, there go you and I. We take a forgiving stance, knowing that none of us is perfect. We also take an uncompromising stance based on the Word of God. We do not sacrifice doctrine and practice or ignore these differences in order to have a fake, shallow, external unity. Rather, we give a witness for the truth in a firm but loving manner, in order that the brother in Christ might see his error, his wrong, and give it up for his own spiritual benefit. Paul writes in Galatians, "Brethren, if a man, a fellow believer, is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." As we know, sometimes the differences in doctrine and or practice are and continue to be so great that an external separation is and remains necessary. However, we rejoice in the invisible unity we have, even with these erring believers, since we are all members of the one holy, invisible Christian church. And we pray and strive for a true, genuine, external unity based on the Word of God. We see fellow believers as special people, precious to the Lord and of great value for this reason as well. They have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has one or more of the special gifts discussed by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These special gifts ought not be a source of envy by other believers or of pride for those who possess them. Both envy and pride are ruled out, since these gifts are unearned, since they are gifts from the grace of God, since they are distributed by the Spirit according to His good and perfect will, since they are given not for the glory of any individual, but for the welfare of the whole church. There is no place for boasting or jealousy. Rather, we view every believer with his or her special gift or gifts as a blessing for the church, and we encourage him or her to use the gift as God intended. And each of us will ask, am I using my gift or gifts in the best, most effective way? Our prayer will be, God, help me to do so for your glory and for the sake of your church. What is our response regarding spiritual gifts? They're great. Thanks be to God who saves us, who blesses his church, and who has made us and all believers special people. In Jesus' name, amen.